The Sharpshooters, Episode 7, October 9th, 2005.
The Sharpshooters!
Well, welcome everybody to Episode 7, the much delayed version of Episode 7. UPN 13 Los Angeles, I guess they felt they needed to show the Angel game, and they're going to preempt the show SmackDown on Saturday at midnight. So, pretty much screwing over wrestling fans. I understand the baseball playoffs are important, but damn it, what about us wrestling fans? They could have put it at midnight. Also, I'm here with Marcus.
The grand finale. Who you failed to introduce just now.
Sorry, Morant. Still upset.
Did you introduce yourself?
I'm Eric. They all know who I am. My problem was that I had to stay up Saturday night to midnight, which delayed the production of the show.
You had to stay up to actually
two in the morning. It makes no sense.
Pacific time, that is.
But anyway, we have a very jam-packed show simply because of the delay in time and schedule. Mm-hmm. As you know, we're going to the two-show format. Normally, the TNA report is going to be on a Raw report, but simply because of
the delay,
we saw TNA, we saw SmackDown, so we figured we might as well put everything in the show.
Like one big giant mesh.
All right, let me give out our information first. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Before we even get into the show, we want to thank one of our listeners, Floyd, who's in the military that's stationed in the Netherlands. He sent us an email stating how he enjoyed the show. He listens to us when he works out.
Yeah.
So we just want to say thank you. We appreciate the feedback. Please, everybody, send us more information, more suggestions, and stuff like that.
Especially because it was a positive letter, man.
Hey, we take negative letters too, but what can you say?
Yeah.
All right. On today's show, like I said, we have some news finally. We have the SmackDown report, the TNA report, mm-hmm. and then we have the Sharpshooters top five. And today's top five will be the top five tag teams
of all time. This is, you know, the greatest of all time. This is our particular favorite list. We got to throw that out there.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a lot of disagreements. Because I have some disagreements myself. I kind of peeked at Marcus' list. Kind of unfair, but hey, he left it on the desk. What can you do?
Hey, I had to set the studio up so what?
All right. So now we're getting into the news for this week. The first story, Jim Ross possibly being the one that's going to be fired on Monday Night Raw this week.
It's not fired. How about replace?
Replace. But as, you know, Vince stated, he's firing somebody. Yeah. So it would make sense. At first, I was thinking it could be Eric Bischoff, but that makes no sense. Jim Ross.
It's Steve Austin's boy.
Yeah, so it can make sense because apparently, as Marcus said, he's just going to be replaced. And what's going to happen is they're going to replace Jim Ross and also, I also read Jerry Lawler. And they're going to be focusing on the WWE's online content because they're about to put a lot of online shows.
Yeah.
I believe it's called WWE Unlimited. Or something like that. We'll have more information in the coming weeks. Apparently, the person that's supposed to replace JR is a Mike Goldberg, who is the UFC announcer.
Who's also, I read somewhere that he did the NHL Sabres. I don't know where they're from.
The Buffalo Sabres.
Buffalo, good job. Hockey's back, everybody.
I just want to let everybody know, though, I also read on prowrestling.com that he actually refused the offer, and so the plans of firing or replacing JR might fall through. So all I got to say, tune in on Monday or listen to our report on Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll let you know.
I'd like to get my opinion on the matter. Okay. I don't think you should replace JR. I mean, he's just such an icon of announcing. He's the greatest wrestling commentator, play-by-play man of all time. And King is the greatest color man of all time.
But if they're trying to develop more listeners for their online content, wouldn't it make more sense putting your best announcers on that?
Yeah, but, you know, the coach announced no when they did Heat wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have never heard this of Mike Goldberg personally. Don't know how he sounds.
He did the UFC.
I just know, apparently, if he takes the USC job, I mean the WWE job, supposedly Joey Styles might take his job. At UFC, because in his WWE contract, it doesn't prevent him from doing announcing and mixed martial arts events.
When you said Joey Styles, you should just say, oh my God!
I actually tell you the truth, I wouldn't mind having Joey Styles do it.
Yeah, he's really into it, you know?
And he's really into his job, but I think that would kind of mess up if they're going to really plan on doing the ECW one-night stand once a year.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to our next story. A former WWE champion was in an accident. Bam Bam Bigelow was in a motorcycle accident, and he could be facing charges are pending, considering if the person that was riding with him dies. Ooh. She's located in critical condition. They did not specify if he was drinking or anything, just said it was an accident. Charges are pending against him. That the lady's in critical condition.
Dark times for Bam Bam right there.
Yeah. That it's really not much more to say about this story. Just wish everybody speedy recovery and hope that everything turns out in the best for them.
Yep. Bam Bam.
Next story. Brock Lesnar wins a world title. Brock Lesnar defeated Kazuyuki Fujita.
You just said
and Masahiro Chono in the IWGP Triple Threat World Championship match in Japan.
You could just say he won a Japan title, sure. You'd have to try to pronounce the name.
Hey, I had to show who he beat. Fujita was the champion for IWGP, and Lesnar pinned Chono for the belt in the Triple A match.
And the interesting thing about this story is he's still under, you know, the big legal dispute with the WWE about, you know, working. You know, other companies and all that.
Yeah, you want to know something interesting?
What?
He still used the F5 of his knockout, but it's not called the F5 no more.
It's called something in Japanese?
No, it's called the verdict. Because apparently there was some type of... Either he dropped his case against WWE or something happened where the case didn't go in his favor.
No, it's still going on, I think, and then they just letting it go. Simmer?
All right, and I guess the last note of news, it's not really news, but I consider The Rock still being a wrestler. So, as you know, his new movie's coming out, Doom. And, well, he's going to be making an appearance on the standard talk shows. On October 11th, he's going to be on Jay Leno. Nah. October 21st, he's going to be on Conan O'Brien. Nah. And on October 20th, he's going to be on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on Comedy Central. Just for The Rock fans, that's just some information for you guys to know. And that's about does it for this weekend news. You have any comments on the weekend news, Marcus?
Yeah, I don't consider The Rock a wrestler no more. He sold out his community. And I think Doom is going to be a failure.
Oh, well, I'm not, I don't know. It's just one of those movies I don't even think I would want to go see, personally.
Because the first-person thing looks stupid.
It looks very stupid, actually. But, I mean, it might work. It might, I mean, it's one of those things. It's something different in movie making. It has never really been made a first-person shooter movie.
It just looks bad, though. It just doesn't look like it's going to work. They should just do a regular movie with the Doom characters and stuff, you know.
But that would make perfectly good sense, but they didn't do it. So we'll see how it works. It's going to continue the streak of bad video game movies.
What are you talking about? There was a good streak going on. Wasn't there a good? That was a good one. There was somewhere.
All right. Coming up next, after this break, will be the TNA report. Our first ever TNA report. The TNA report. The TNA report. The TNA report. All right, everybody. This is the TNA report. The TNA report for the TNA Impact show. On October 8th, total nonstop action. When the show opened up, it showed what happened to the Dudleys last week about them making their debut. And that was about it.
Yeah.
The first match was Three Live Crew, which would be BG James.
A.K.A. the Road Dog Jesse James.
Ron the Truth Killings.
A.K.A. Quay Quick.
And Conan.
A.K.A. Conan.
Versus Team Canada, A1, Bobby Roode, and Eric Young with their manager, Scott D'Amore. Mm-hmm. This match was, I'm not going to say it was one of the best wrestling matches. It was entertaining to a point where you really don't know what's going on. You have to really be a TNA fan to really know what the story is behind Three Live Crew.
Let me tell you something. I don't care. I hate Three Live Crew. It's just all their moves are so unnecessary and just everything just bugs the hell out.
Well, I'm not going to say that. Two of the members in particular, Road Dogg Jesse James, or BG James, apparently just got his swooped the whole batch.
Well, that's what he did in all his
career. Yeah, but I mean his whole career.
I mean, he's the roadie.
Yeah, he's the roadie. Kay Quick, The Truth.
Ron Killings.
Is over the top. It's just that he's just doing too much in the ring. It's like, to me, he's like... Booker T.
He reminds me of the Black Power Ranger.
Yeah. He's like Booker T on steroids. It makes no sense. He's dancing in the ring. And then apparently he has the same knockout as Booker T. And Conan, Viva La Raza.
I'm just so through with him.
Throwing shoes at people.
I'm just sick of Cody. I have never liked
Cody. I mean, I would have more information on Team Canada, but we just really started watching TNA, and the only thing I know about Team Canada is Petey Williams.
Petey Williams got the best knockout wrestling today.
But that's all I can say. So, the match was mediocre. It was funny. It was energizing. It's probably the most interesting thing that happened was that Kip Wells,
a.k.a. the Outlaw, a.k.a. Billy Gunn,
a.k.a. Badass, came out to save BG James when he was getting jumped by Team Canada.
And it just been looming for weeks, apparently, that is whose side are they on, and are they together, are they in cahoots?
Apparently, it looks like they're going to break up 3 Live Crew, which would be nice. I mean, I've seen them once, and I'm tired of them.
Hey, they had the former TNA NWA champion Ron Killings in there, man.
Like I said, it's no place in the business for 3 Live Crew. Now, the next match was, to me, the one thing that does separate TNA from WWE, the X Division.
X.
It was a triple threat match, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, versus Austin Aries and Matt Bentley, Shawn Michaels' cousin, with Tracy.
Oh, he is?
Yes, you didn't hear the announcer state that he was Shawn Michaels' cousin?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's Shawn Michaels' cousin.
Wow. Shawn Michaels has family.
He taught him how to wrestle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels has family.
First of all, what make this match good? This is the second time that the X Division match has not let me down. Only person in this ring that I knew of was Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angels.
I know about Austin Aries and I didn't know about the other guy.
Oh,
here's a question about your boy Christopher Daniels. Why does he wear a collar?
He's the Fallen Angels. It's like the priest thing. You know, it's kind of like the whole priest thing.
I don't know much about him.
I heard his name before.
He's like a stripper.
He does look like a stripper. But,
it was an excellent match.
It was a great match. It wasn't like last week when it was AJ Styles versus that guy. We can't remember his name. The unknown X Division wrestlers, they do very well.
I wish that they could just become, TNA just become the X Division. Because, you know, that's what I like about it. Because that's actually the total nonstop action. When the other people who are in the X Division get in there, the action just seems
to stop. Really look forward to seeing a real Ultimate X match. It just seemed like it would be something cool really to watch.
You should rent the DVD.
Well, I could rent the DVD, but I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of.
You guys, you email us and let us know if we should rent the. No, Netflix didn't have it.
They don't have it?
They don't have no TNA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Very controversial.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it's not big enough. Just to let you guys know, Chris Daniels won the match.
Yeah, he won. I forgot.
Because Austin Aries was going to do a dive out to the ring because Petey Williams came out messing with Tracy, Bentley, and all those people.
Yeah.
And so, whatchamacallit snuck up behind him and beat him. Oh, just because we didn't let y'all know beforehand, 3 Live Crew won the last match.
I don't think we told them that.
And we did.
Did we even say who they fought? Oh, yeah, we did.
No, wait. Didn't Team Canada win? No, 3 Live Crew won.
3 Live Crew won. I don't remember.
3 Live Crew. Let me check the show notes. Hold on.
Oh, God. While he's checking the show notes, I would say there was some problems in the X Division that I don't like. Some stuff just seemed too predetermined. I like stuff to look like it's random. Some stuff is random, but, you know, it looks like it's random. But some stuff, they just look like it's just planned. And he continues to look through the show notes.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, 3 Live Crew didn't win. Okay. A problem I have with the X Division is just that when they have their triple threat matches, it's a lot of standing around by that third person. Like, they'll get a move done on him, and he'll just be waiting and waiting, and then they'll just decide to run after him. Like Marcus says, the match really appears to be really scripted.
Yeah, but it's some stuff they have that looks like, wow, that happened. You know, that's
athletic. And believe it or not, I really believe that the 8-sided ring really does help the lighter wrestlers
do it. Yeah. And I think it's time to move on to the next topic because we took a lot of time for.
Well, the X Division is the best division, so you really have to spend a lot of time on that one. The next match, I'm just going to mention it. Don't care. It was Abyss with Jay Mitchell. I believe that's the guy that looked like the devil. Versus Sonny Siaki.
Sonny Siaki was he's a great talent. I don't know who he is, honestly.
I just want to say.
I have never liked Abyss. I seen him on, I think, the IWA when he was battling the boss, Savio Vega. Didn't like him then. Felt he was fat, fake game, out of shape. No need for the Abyss.
6'8", 350. That's what they build him as. It's a tub of lard. Abyss sucks. He won the match. They're really trying to put this guy over. What can you do? Moving on to the next match, because that was just really bad. Hey, did you see in the commercial break the fat guy that was doing all the flips and stuff? And
yeah!
I want to know who was that guy.
Oh, that dude said it.
But he was doing, he didn't look fat when they showed his face. I was like, oh, man, that's flat.
Yeah.
If he can do it, I can do it, too. But he looked cool. They need to put him on Impact immediately, because I don't think I plan on ordering any of the
pay-per-views. I don't know who that guy is, though. If anybody can tell us his name.
I forgot his name. I remember
could
it
be
last
the,
night, and I forgot
it. Samoa Joe? No?
Samoa Joe?
I don't know. It's in the show notes. I don't know how
that
to put the name.
That was racist.
After the match, they came back, and Mike Tenay was interviewing the living legend, Larry Zbyszko.
He's not a legend to me.
Yeah, I mean, really.
We call him Sugar Bear around here. He looks like Sugar Bear. You know, from the cereal box. You know what I'm talking
about. The most important thing to mention about this is that this is where Larry Zbyszko is introducing Tito Ortiz as being a special guest referee in the match versus Jeff Jarrett and Kevin Nash. They come out. Tito Ortiz comes out. He's standing his spew. You have something to say about Tito Ortiz?
No.
Or should I continue setting it up? So Tito Ortiz come out, continue to speak. Then here comes the music that hits. The King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, walks out to the ring.
J.E., don't.
And he start talking. And then next thing you know, here come Kevin Nash. And, man, Kevin Nash look old. And
dyed hair.
He look like he just decrepit, man. I just don't know if I'm the only one that noticed it. Marcus, did you notice how the King of the Mountain gave a plug to the Longest Yard?
Yeah, I noticed that, and that was what I was going to comment about.
Oh.
He's going to send him back to Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, and Burt Reynolds. If that's the worst that can happen to me, I would dream of it.
And then he said, that'll be the Longest Yard you ever traveled.
Yeah, but the thing is, how is that a bad thing? He's going to hang around Chris Rock, Adam Sandler, and Burt Reynolds, and doing movies with him. What's so bad about that?
I don't know.
That was the worst insult I've ever heard in my life.
No, but what disrespected me was that when they finally got in the ring and Kevin Nash is pounding Jeff Jarrett, for some reason Tito Ortiz decides that he's going to put Kevin Nash in a chokehold.
I'm going to choke him out.
And so he chokes him out, he breaks him up, and then Jeff Jarrett comes over and he's stomping out Kevin Nash. And instead of putting Jeff Jarrett in the same chokehold, he just lifts him up and throws him to the side. So are they trying to hint that Tito Ortiz is being biased?
The thing is, I don't think they are hinting that. The problem is, this just messed up. And then Kevin Nash was knocked out. Next thing you know, everybody's in the ring and they all fighting around each other. So, you know.
And after they came out from commercial break, the franchise Shane Douglas interviews the fallen angel Christopher Daniels. And Christopher Daniels is talking about how he's defeated everybody in the X Division. And that he wants to fight Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess apparently at their pay-per-view, isn't it called Bound for Glory? That he's fighting AJ Styles in an Iron Man match, which, once again, would probably be a match that I would pay for to see. But that would be the only match. So if someone could arrange for me to pay $5 for 15 minutes of a match, I would do it. I don't really want to see anything else.
I don't think you can make it that way.
We're going to talk about Bound for Glory because there's one match on there in particular that I really have concerns about. But as we get to the... it's one match.
Other than Jared and them?
No, that's not the match that really bothers me. Yeah, it is the match with Abyss. All right, the last match of the night was Team 3D.
A la the Dudley Boys.
Brother Devon, Brother Ray.
Bubba Ray.
American Most Wanted, Cowboy James Storm, and Wildcat Chris Harris. I just want everybody to know, I do like American Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that TNA also does have going for them, besides the X Division, they have a nice little tag team segment. Mm-hmm. The Naturals.
Team Canada,
American Most Wanted.
Dudley's.
It goes on and on. But they have a lot of good... But American Most Wanted is one of those teams that I think is really... Cause they kind of remind me, they're kind of like what Kane and Murdoch should be in the WWE, just that they don't, Kane and Murdoch doesn't have that look just yet.
They weren't this week, were they?
No, they weren't. Anyway, it was a match. You know what, believe it or not, it was a very good match until the very end of the match.
Oh, yeah, where Gail Kim runs in and gives her a nut
and hits Brother Ray, I believe. Or was it Brother Devon?
I think it was Brother Ray.
Brother Ray got hit in his jewels.
Can we just call him Bubba?
I want to call him Brother Ray. I think that's kind of funny. Let me touch on this just quick, just quick. Brother Devine. Didn't he, wasn't he called that when he was the Reverend Devine?
I believe so.
I don't know, they can get away. Does he like own the rights to Brother Devine, or they can just say that?
Well, anyway, back to Gail Kim comes in and get Brother Ray the nut shot.
Yeah.
And right before Brother Devine is about to powerbomb Gail Kim, here comes the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm the king of the mountain.
Why is Gail Kim and Jeff Jarrett in cahoots? I do not know.
Well, Jeff Jarrett owns the company. Oh, this is a point I wanted to point out at the end. Jeff Jarrett and Gail Kim, and I think there was somebody else out there. I think, was it Team Canada?
Uh-huh.
And they was out there, they're going to take over TNA. That fool already owned TNA. I mean, what's the point of him trying to take it over?
I just want to give TNA some credit, though. One thing that they are doing well, they are building their up to their pay-per-view very well. Because all the matches that they had at the last two shows are all orientated towards the pay-per-view. Which is kind of, it's what WWE is kind of getting away from. They like promote more on the main event compared to the little matches that they have coming up for their pay-per-view. But back to the concern I had about Bound for Glory. Apparently, it's this match that involves Abyss, Rhino, Jeff Hardy, and who's the fourth person in this match?
Oh, God. You never know. Well, those three people alone. Rhino, I have no problem with. I actually like Rhino.
But, Mark, the stipulation in the match is what makes it awful.
Let me find out who... Was it a blindfold
match? No. Let me find out who the person is, and I'll get back to you, okay?
Ooh, Abyss?
Just talk about Jeff Hardy. I don't care.
Well, Jeff Hardy has always made me sick as a singles wrestler. Yeah. To your stream.
Oh, man, this is awful. I feel like we're so unorganized.
We are unorganized, Eric. We are.
Hey, we're getting better throughout the show.
Yeah, we got better sound quality, apparently.
And that. But the stipulation in this match, apparently, is that they're going to be locked into the room with no food, no light, for 24 hours, and then they're going to be released to fight each other in the ring.
Are they going to be in the room together?
No, they're going to be in separate rooms, man.
I don't understand what the point of this match is. What, are they just going to stink?
No, man. I don't know. It, apparently, it's supposed to...
They're going
to
try to eat each other?
It's supposed to develop their hunger more and more.
And what is this feud about, by the way?
I don't know.
I mean, you got the Man Beast.
Okay, it's... You got the Abyss. It's called Monster Ball 2. Apparently, they've done this match before. The contestants are going to be Abyss, Jeff Hardy, Rhino, and Sabu.
Sabu's pretty good.
Yeah, but...
Is it a hardcore match? Or
yeah, I think it's like a hardcore match. And what makes it more hardcore is that they're locked in this room for 24 hours with no light and no food. And they're going to be released for the first time for that match.
So they've been in that room for 24 hours and they went crazy.
Correct.
All right. They better not go to prison. They go to solitary. All right,
so anyway, we might as well let you guys know what the Bound for Honor pay-per-view is going to be.
Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory. It's scheduled for Sunday, October 23rd. The matches that are scheduled for is going to be the NWA World Heavyweight Title match, Jeff Jarrett versus Kevin Nash with special guest referee
Tito Ortiz.
You have the X Division Championship Iron Man match, the phenomenal AJ Styles versus the Fallen Angels, Christopher Daniels. Don't you love how most everybody in the X Division has a nickname
they
on top of their name?
The Fallen Angel. And
the phenomenal. I mean, it works. Then you have the Ultimate X returns, Matt Bentley, Shawn Michaels' cousin, versus Chris Sabin, versus Petey Williams. Mm-hmm. They become, whoever wins this match becomes the X Division number one contender.
All right.
The Monster Ball match we just got.
You know, let
discussing.
Me tell you something. The pay-per-view should just stop right there.
No. We have one more matches, and apparently they have more matches to be announced soon. It's the International Showdown, Samoa Joe versus Justin Thunder Liger.
Now, is Holly Berry going to be at Monster Ball, too?
I just think the whole premise for the match is awful. They could just call it a hardcore match and go on. But locking these guys in a room for 24 hours with no light, no food.
Put them in a cage, man.
Know what? The worst part about it actually, the angle kind of sells itself when it comes to Abyss, Sabu, and Rhino. Because you know what? They are from the ECW fan.
Well,
with
but
the,
Jeff Hardy's Jeff a charismatic Hardy, enigma.
It doesn't really fit for this cat. You know
He's
what I mean?
Charismatic enigma.
Yeah, Marcus, you just did the Jeff Hardy dance. It doesn't really work.
I know. It never worked for him either.
Well, this is our first TNA report. Like I said, as you see, we're very excited about TNA because it's actually, believe it or not, it's more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. Considering
it's more
when it,
entertaining than, you know, like with Sunday night.
When it came on Fox. And Fox was really bad. But now it's like this. And guess what? 2 weeks in a row, no Monty Brown. Ain't nothing I can complain about that. Keep Monty Brown off the show.
Oh, man, you hate Monty Brown?
I do hate Monty.
You hate him and his pants?
Yes, I hate Brown. Anyway, this has been a TNA report. Coming up next, are we going to do our top five or do you want to do the SmackDown report?
I don't know.
a bunch of dead air. I think we're going to do the top five.
Top five?
All right, so we'll be back with our top five favorite tag teams. Remember, our favorite tag teams. We'll be back.
The Sharpshooters top five tag teams of all time. Tag teams of all time. Tag teams of all
time. Welcome back. It's our top five favorite tag teams. It's Eric's favorite tag team
and
Marcus' favorite tag team.
Funnelly.
We're not saying they're the best. We're just saying these are the tag teams that we like. Marcus, are you going to start the show off with your number five?
Well, I started last week and my number five. It seems to be a controversial one. I'm going with, you know, I don't remember their names. The Bushwhackers.
I don't remember their name. Luke and Butch.
Yeah, Butch, yeah. I love the Bushwhackers. My favorite, not my favorite, but, you know, I love, you know, the way they walked, you know, the arms going up and down. And they never really won much, did they? But they were very entertaining.
What? I don't even think they won a tag team belts ever. I don't even think they was ever a tag team champions. But
they're good. I like the Bushwhackers. They were solid. They had a great gimmick.
I mean, they're entertaining if you're an 8-year-old. But I mean, did they do anything groundbreaking in the ring?
They didn't have to. Okay, they did the walk.
I'm just saying that was the worst. That's a bad pick, Marcus.
I like this pick.
That's a bad.
What's your number five then?
My number five is actually the Mega Powers. Hulk Hogan and Macho Man.
Oh, man. No, come
on. The Mega Powers.
They were broke up over Miss Elizabeth. This shouldn't happen.
I don't care. It was just Hulk Hogan, Macho Man. I felt that I put them in my number five for nostalgia reasons.
No.
They broke up over Miss Elizabeth. The jealousy that ensued. Macho Man and the madness developed. That's why I like the Mega Powers.
No.
I think they could beat the Bushwhackers.
They probably could be. Everybody beat the Bushwhackers, but that's not the point.
All right.
I felt the Bushwhackers deserved mention.
Who's your number four?
My number four comes in at WCW, the Harlem Heat. I loved Harlem Heat. They had great chemistry. Stevie Ray, Booker T, great chemistry. They never really did much as singles wrestlers that much. Well, except for Booker T, you know, five-time WCW champion. But I really enjoyed them as a tag team. Felt they were very productive. They won it like 14 times or something in WCW.
I just think, you know what? The reason why that's a good pick is simply because Harlem Heat was probably one of the few good tag teams inside of WCW at that time. You didn't really have that many good teams out there.
Yeah, that was great.
So, I mean, when they broke them up, I was hurt and all that good stuff. So, I can say that's a good number four.
That's a good number four.
My number four, though, it's an old school tag team. Mm-hmm. It might be a little bit before Marcus' time. The original British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith, and the Dynamite Kid.
I forgot about them.
I mean, if you want to talk about a perfectly matched tag team, you had Davey Boy Smith with all the power, and you had the Dynamite Kid doing all the high.
Just being Dynamite.
I mean, the Dynamite Kid was before his time. I mean, he would have excelled.
He's pretty much Chris Benoit right now.
I mean, it's not much I can say about the British Bulldogs. I don't remember much about him. I just know
he had
at my time.
Slam.
Yeah, but. No, the British Bulldogs together as a
tag
team. I remember they used to come out with this bulldog.
Mm-hmm. Like Fifi.
Yeah, I was so young, so it's kind of hard for me to remember. So we're just going to move on to the number three.
Okay, my number three are now called Team 3D, starring Brother Devon, Bubba Ray Dudley, the Dudley Boys. They're number three because they have won every major tag team title in the history of the rest, not the history, but every major tag team title. They have won the WCW titles. They have won the WWF / WWE titles. They have won the, they will probably win the TNA titles. What's another title? I'm missing. ECW titles. Oh, my God. And then they were controversial in ECW. They cut great promos. They're, you know, they're the Dudley Boys. Get the tape, Devon, get the tables, and all hell breaks loose.
You know, I actually have no problem with the pick, but when I was thinking of my top five, I considered the Dudley Boys. But my issue was a team that really entertained me inside the ring and outside the ring. Of course, they had great matches.
And outside the ring, they were great promos.
I don't know. I just, the Dudley Boys just...
Testify!
I don't know. I don't know.
Stuttering gimmick. Putting Mae Young through a table. They invented the move to 3D, which is a great knockout. Come on, the Dudley Boys, number three.
I don't know. That's hard for me.
What's your number, what is it, three?
My number three, and I know you're going to disagree with this one, is Road Dogg, Jesse James, and Badass Billy Gunn. I just think that they were entertaining as hell to me. Because it was funny because they were part of Diaz.
Do you remember their name?
What?
The New Age Outlaws.
I don't care. I just thought they were a fun team.
I felt they were fun, but I was considering putting them on top five. I was actually thinking about putting them five, but I said the Bushwhackers need to be mentioned.
Yeah, but I mean, what can you say? Moving on to your number two, which I think is my number two.
At number two, because Edge and Christian.
That is my number two.
I feel this tag team was just so entertaining. The promos are great. There's never been a tag team in history to do the 5-second pose. And then their TLC matches.
The concerto.
The concerto. The brood days.
I mean, it's just Edge and Christian, I mean, as the entertainment value for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It really showed how far wrestlers came along.
I believe that when they were like the round, you know, when they was a tag team, that was the peak of the tag team division in the history of WWE right there. Because, you know, you had the Hardys, the Dudleys, the Edge and Christian, and you know the list went on.
I mean, they have a real strong possibility of being our number one favorite tag team, but it was one problem because I think once again, me and Marcus agree on this pick who our number one is. And should we just say it?
Yeah. The Demolition Man.
And they were just awesome. And I have to say this, point this out, when it was just Action Smash. No crush.
No crush.
Just Action Smash. That was all.
That team was just cool.
I mean, the pay, from the paint to the badass.
To the entrance.
The worst part about it, if you guys go back and look at the footage of Demolition, they were so out of shape. I mean, they were really... Axe was just fat. Smash was just fat.
I think Axe was bald.
But you know what? They just kicked ass. And that was great about him.
I loved them. Then Crush had to come along and just spoil everything.
You know, Crush didn't spoil everything as much, but he took away a lot of the flair of Demolition, especially because I think before he became part of Demolition, he was already Crush.
He was the Kuna for Hawaii. Yeah. The Kahuna for Hawaii.
And he was wearing the
orange and purple.
Orange and purple.
Man, I remember picking him at the back of the room.
Yeah, and like, and you know, Demolition was.
He looked
just
like the soda drink. Now, niggas around anymore.
No, they still sell Crush. You can get it at Walmart, but they sell it in the bottles. Oh, really okay. Tasty, though.
I haven't had Crush in a while.
Anyway, so this is our top five. If you guys have any comments or suggestions, because we know we left plenty of people out.
I mean, the Midnight Express,
the Heart Foundation, the Rockers,
the Rocket Socket Nation,
the Rock and Roll Express for you old school wrestlers,
Arn Anderson and them,
Perry Saturn and that guy from ECW, the Eliminators,
the Impact Players with Lance Storm and Just Incredible.
I mean, there's the list goes on and on. So we would appreciate if you guys have top five favorite wrestler tag teams. Mm-hmm. Email it to us. We'll be happy to read them on the air.
We also left out the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, well, we already concerned how I felt about the Legion of Doom last week. Yeah. Overrated. All right, we're going to our last segment of our show, the SmackDown Report, and then you guys will be finished with us. We're already rocking almost about 35 minutes.
Yeah, 35 minutes. This is longer than the Royal one.
All right, so we'll see you guys next with the SmackDown Report.
The Sharpshooter SmackDown Report.
Welcome everybody to the SmackDown Report for October 9th, 2005. Because it was shown at midnight. That's when we saw it here in LA. The show opened up with Teddy Long and the network in the ring.
Yeah, they're talking about the Raw, you know, how they invaded. They didn't get to do their match on Raw and how they set it up for later on that night. And
Do you notice how the network just keep brushing off Taye Logan?
I love that. Logan fired.
I don't know yet.
Look, this is my prediction for what's going to happen with this. At Survivor Series, there's going to be a big war between Raw and SmackDown. We both see this coming.
Yeah, right? We see this coming.
And I figure
the stipulation is whatever team wins, their general manager gets to stay.
Yeah, or gets fired either way. You know,
yeah, okay.
And Taylor will go, and the network will take over.
You like the network, don't you?
Yeah, because I'm sick of Taylor.
But anyway,
I'm sick of him getting gangster.
Why is Taylor dancing in the ring? He doing a jig.
I don't know why he keep dancing in the ring, man. I mean, his dance is like, I don't know.
Well, anyway, what happens is they're out there spewing about how Eric Bischoff disrespect him, and here comes Randy Orton music.
Hey!
Cues. Nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do that you do to me.
And here comes Bob Orton.
And Cowboy Bob Orton. And they come out there and they say, we need you guys to lead the ring.
By the way, did you notice his shirt was like the NWO?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. That okay. It's the RKO and yeah, it's the NWO Orton design. He asked them to leave. Teddy Long he doesn't need to leave the ring. Mm-hmm. But the network says, you know what, for our up and coming superstar, we're gonna leave the ring.
Yeah.
So he escorts the black man out
like,
the
wait
ring.
A minute, player. I'm trying to talk this shit up, black man.
Yeah. So anyway, Randy Orton is talking about Undertaker and him killing legends and all that. Yeah. And here comes out of shape Piper. Yeah. They are fighting soon, just a more prolong their match that they're having at, is it a pay-per-view?
No,
it's later on that night. Yeah, the handicap match.
What are you blame?
I don't know, man. It was, what can I say? It was what the board, man.
It was about 12 at this time.
Anyway. After that, they went to commercials. The first match was the Booker T with Charbel versus Orlando Jordan. Black on black crime, as I like to call it.
That old Jezebel Charmel.
Well, Marcus, once again, you've been preaching how you never seen Orlando Jordan fight in a full-fledged match.
I finally seen it.
How would you think of Orlando Jordan?
He's all right.
Pretty much the only important thing about this match is how they're trying to produce the angle that Charmel will do anything it takes to win a match and how Booker T is not really accepted of
fact. I'm already seeing where this is going. I'm going to see at the pay-per-view this Sunday, No Mercy, I think it is, right? Is it No Mercy?
Yeah, No Mercy.
I believe Booker T will win the United States title and defeat Chris Benoit because Charmel's going to cheat and screw his dear friend Chris Benoit.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that that's going to drive a riff into Booker T and Charmel. And then sooner or later, they're going to be through with her. And she's going to jump on Christian's side.
I feel that, yeah. I think that it's either Booker T or Christian's going to win this belt. I don't know exactly who's going to win the belt, but I don't think Chris Benoit's going to hold this belt.
And I believe Charmel will have a factor
in the match. But like I said,
if Chris Benoit wins, it's gonna be because Charmel interferes.
I do like the decision between Booker T and Charmel. It's kind of funny after a while not funny. Because after Booker T won, he was all happy.
She's Miss Black America in 1991.
No, that's Ryan's thing. He's not here. There's no reason to bring that up. I just think it's funny how Booker T is so happy after he win, and he find out that he cheated. He's like, "What you do that for?" But I had him.
The end of the match was really dumb. Who's really lost because they got tripped over the legs? I mean, just tripped, no move after it.
Marcus, now to any other wrestler, that would be unbelievable. But we're talking about Orlando Jordan, the man who got beat in 23 seconds.
I think it was 19 at one point.
It sells itself pretty much as Orlando Jordan. No one takes Orlando Jordan seriously. Is he even with JBL anymore?
Titan Tribe still says his chief of staff.
I guess, but they kind of like just left that angle all out the point.
Because he's busy with Jillian.
The next thing was, and I'm going to let Marcus introduce it because it's his boy,
Mr. Kennedy.
Kennedy came out there and shoot Tony Chimo out of the ring. And he grabbed the mic and said he was going to be a special guest commentator for the Hardcore Holly or Sparky.
But we didn't mention this we didn't mention how he gets his mic now. You know, the spotlight in the middle of the ring. We didn't say this last week. Now he has a spotlight in the middle of the ring. And the mic comes from the sky like, you know, boxing in the old days.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny. Anyway, it was Sylvain Grenier versus
Grenier.
It doesn't matter.
Man.
God. It doesn't matter what your name is. don't care what he is.
Fresh model.
Versus Spark Plug Hardcore Holly.
Spiky. Entertaining commentary.
It was Ken Kennedy made the match personally. I mean, he called Hardcore Holly Sparky on numerous occasions.
He was like, they kept saying it was hardcore. And then somewhere in there, Michael Cole was like, he's the Texas SEAL. I don't know.
He's a Texas SEAL. And Marcus thought he said that. Marcus Cole said he was a Navy SEAL. And I don't.
I kept rewinding on T-Bow like, these ain't Navy SEALs.
I think it goes back to the point that it was 2 something in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever. Sylvain won.
Due to being hit hardcore. Oh, he's so hardcore, he can't take a microphone going over the top of his head.
Mercer Kitty hit Hardcore upside the head.
He whipped him with it. He was like,
you know what? I'm not going to even call him hardcore because he got beat. Sparky. Hit Sparky upside the head with a mic.
Mm-hmm. And he's supposed to be hardcore.
What kind of stuff is that?
I don't see nothing hardcore about losing and hit upside the head with a microphone. Maybe the shock value hit him in the heart or something. He's old.
I just have to say, though, Ken Kennedy was the best-dressed superstar on SmackDown that night. That was a hell of a suit.
Well, because most people wear their T-shirts in their underwear.
No.
Yeah, most of them.
Okay, Tay Long's suit was awful. It's not.
Wearing the white one this
week? Yeah, it's all right. What he was wearing. The network suit was awful. I mean, just saying, the cufflinks, the tie, it was nice. And he hit.
What did this become the E-Network?
He hit Spark Plug with a mic.
Yes, I always enjoy when somebody can hit with a microphone.
Next thing, Josh Matthews, the Tough Enough winner, the only one still working for WWE, interviewed Piper backstage about the match later.
And you know Piper went on his rants.
He went on his rant as usual.
Anyway, Josh Matthews isn't the other way. Christopher Nowinski is still around.
Where at?
I don't know. I think he's in Old Valley. He got a contract still with him.
Oh, well.
I don't know where he at.
But when I say still around, do we get Ohio Valley Wrestling here?
Apparently not. We're not in Ohio.
Okay. We see Josh Matthews on SmackDown every day.
Okay.
That's why he's still in WWE.
I mean, every now and then, we don't know when SmackDown's coming on.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you when Orton and his dad was at the beginning of the show and came out, when Piper came out, he didn't come out alone. He had a lead pipe. I don't know if that had any importance with y'all, but he did.
It wasn't really a lead pipe. It was a toilet paper roll for, you know, paper towels. It just was painted gray or something.
All right, and here we go. The first time ever, the Legion of Disgrace has been in a real match against real competition. It was the Legion of Doom, Animal and Heidenreich, with their newfound escort manager, Christy Hemme.
I guess they're going to Legion 2000 rule as she being Sunny, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on, but she's a new escort versus William Regal and Paul Burchill.
Paul Burchill? I haven't seen him much. But
As Michael Cole said, that William Regal has laid with him a hooligan.
A hooligan. Well, you know, a hooligan in England, you know what
that,
I mean?
That's a big tough word. That's a big word. But he's a hooligan. I actually thought this was going to be a good match, but I'm pretty sure that I knew that William Regal and Burchill wouldn't win. Also, that LOD wouldn't win clean. So, of course, Eminem comes out and they interfere.
Wait a minute. Burchill and them did win.
No, they didn't. They got
a la DQ, I think.
No, they lost.
No, yeah, they lost. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
12 in the morning.
Eminem came out, and they gave the snapshot to Christy Hemme.
Yeah. It was
what more can you say?
Melina was like, get out! And she just beat her up, you know. Eminem just came out, just caused chaos, pretty much. And that was it.
I mean, pretty much it was just a match to promote the 6-man tag at No Mercy. That really no one really cares about. Because I don't care about seeing Christy Hemme in the ring. I don't care about seeing Out of Shape Animal in the ring. He ain't Demolition. Eminem is great, but they're wasting their time with LOD. It's just a waste of time. They need to take, WWE need to take some notes from TNA about how to promote the tag team division.
Give them a nickname. Burchill and Regal don't have anything.
No, that works for them because they're the new, I mean, you can't really call them the New Bloods no more. I mean,
no, but you can call them.
Their name works. I'm okay
Burchill
with
and Regal, you know.
I'm cool with that one.
And the next main thing
that ever, they cut to a backstage segment with Guerrero and said he didn't want to talk about last week at Taco Batista on SmackDown. Instead, he wanted to talk about Monday Night Raw. He proved he had Batista back. He said he'll prove it again. And then headed to the ring.
Footage. I see him just next to Batista. There was nothing in that footage.
Guerrero's just funny to me. I don't get the whole angle of why.
He wants to be his friend.
He needs to be Batista's friend.
Eric, I'm starting to believe him.
I mean, Everybody know Eddie's going to turn on Batista.
Well, they have a match.
Yeah, they...
I mean, it's not like they're tag team against somebody or something. It's not like he's turning on them legitly, you know? They're going to have a match. What, he going to try and cheat? Of course. He's Eddie Guerrero if he wouldn't cheat. He wouldn't be Eddie Guerrero if he wouldn't cheat.
All right. Moving on from the Eddie Guerrero out in the ring talking about
That went on too long.
How he was Batista's friend, which no one cares.
It went on too long.
The next match was Roddy Piper versus Randy Orton and Bob Orton in a handicap match.
Only person in the ring that was in shape was the referee. Oh, Randy Orton. I forgot about him. But, you know, it was very...
The only important thing about this match was simply...
The Undertaker?
The Undertaker.
His mind games.
That's the only thing that was important in this whole entire match.
I mean, his mind games was hilarious. I mean, in the middle of the match or, you know, toward the end, you kept hearing the bells going, doom. And then, you know, it was funny seeing the reaction of Randy Orton and Bob Orton freaking out like, oh, no. And, you know, it was just cool. It was just like, and then it stopped. And then they start having a match again. Next thing you know, like 2 minutes later, another gong go off, boom, and then, you know.
The Druids come out.
Then the Druids go, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow. They come out with a coffin, and inside the coffin, it shows Bob Orton and Randy Orton.
This was obviously recorded earlier, it looks like.
I don't know.
You never got to see inside the casket live, you know. It looked like it was recorded earlier.
I don't care, but it's pretty much, if you guys remember a couple of weeks ago when they had the U-Haul truck, and they brought the coffin out with Undertaker in there, and it shot Undertaker. Stuff. Now he shocked him, which it makes more sense because Undertaker's always been the graveyard man.
Yeah, but then he wasn't finished shocking him after that. The lights cuts off, and next thing you know, he's in the ring behind him. Oh, first he started talking on the Titan Drive. Mm-hmm. Then the lights, then I think, I don't know, maybe lightning happened. But then the lights cut off, then he's behind him, and it's typical Undertaker around this time of the year.
Okay, now it's, for me, this is crazy. This is probably the most unpublicized match at the pay-per-view. But it was probably one of my favorite matches on SmackDown last night. Bobby Lashley versus Eddie Graven. Now, I'll tell you why this match was entertaining.
Because you don't know who the hell Eddie Graven is.
No, no. Simon Dean made this match for me last night. Simply because he came out there saying that he broke his arm. And he said he wouldn't do push-ups through the whole match. But he's going to do Simon squats throughout the whole match. And the greatest thing about him doing the Simon squats is that he literally did it throughout the whole match.
Yeah, and the funny part is that Lashley was trying to compete with him in the ring with the guy on his shoulder. I mean, this feud makes no sense. Where did this come from? He's already beaten Simon Dean on numerous occasions. This match probably is going to be first.
It is going to be first. But you know what? It's like it's the same thing with Kenny and Holly. If Lashley beats Spark, Simon Dean, it doesn't hurt Simon Dean.
SmackDown's all of a sudden having a lot of potential coming their way.
No, I mean, I think what they're finally doing with SmackDown, unlike they did in the JBL era, is that they're focusing more on the undercards now.
They're utilizing more characters, pretty much.
Yeah, I wasn't getting the squats, though. Hey, if you guys could go back and see the footage of these squats that Simon D was doing, it was just so funny. The man is wearing purple, for Christ's sakes. He's wearing
coming
purple.
Out on a Segway and a cast.
Boy.
That's your boy. Him and his Simon sister. He also tried to trip Lashley, but he just yanked his leg away from him, which was sad.
Right.
The match got sad.
Eddie
Craven mentioned it. Eddie Craven
didn't. I don't know who Eddie Craven is, man. It doesn't matter.
Isn't that like the second week he fought him?
It might have been. I just know I heard that name before. The Patriots one?
Yeah, but why do you care?
I'm just because I saw Bill Belichick being interviewed. I'm just curious.
Yeah, next to you saying Jim Hill is a nice looking man.
Anyway, as we digress, we're moving on to the last match of the show. The match that was supposed to happen on WWE Homecoming. It is Eddie Guerrero, Christian, JBL, versus Chris Benoit, Rey Mysterio, and Batista. I have some complaints about this match. First of all,
I fell asleep during the match.
As we know, JBL hates Mexicans. We're just gonna put it out there.
He's trying to refer his public image, okay?
Realize he hates Mexicans and he has a feud with Rey Mysterio.
Well, since he hates Rey Mysterio, Eddie hates Rey Mysterio.
But the point is, does anyone remember maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, Eddie and JBL were having the same feud?
It was more than that, Eric.
It's not the point, though. Eddie Guerrero is a Mexican.
And you want them segregated?
No, I'm just saying that.
You put a patch in their problems?
To really show the hatred that JBL has for these Mexican people, it's no reason why he should have been working with Eddie Guerrero.
Well, he can spew more hate, Eric, if you think about it, because the ending of the match, well, I'm skipping to the end, because there was not really many highlights in this match. And, you know, Eddie Guerrero screws JBL as he's going for the clothesline from hell. And he pulls down the rope, and JBL flips over. He points up to Christian, who's about to jump on Batista. He gets spine busted, the match is over.
And then they come in, and they jump Eddie Guerrero, and then
no, Batista. Before that, they would celebrate. Eddie Guerrero would celebrate with Batista.
Yeah, and the whole crew, which was funny to me, because Eddie Guerrero's a character. He's celebrating with the team that he just lost to,
mm-hmm.
which shows that wins and losses mean nothing in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, as the rest of the team is left, it's just Batista and Eddie Guerrero in the ring, and here comes JBL, Christian, and
JBL.
Oh, he was a part. Yeah. They jump Eddie Guerrero,
which was well deserved too.
And Batista saves Eddie Guerrero. But before we come to the ending, I wanted to know though, if JBL would have hit the clothesline from hell, what did Christian intend to do off the top rope? Really?
What was he intended to do? Throw an elbow, man.
I'm just curious.
Or a big splash. Christian really goes up on the top rope.
I have never seen him being successful off the top rope. Anyway, as the match ends, for some reason, it's Eddie Guerrero on his knees in the front of Batista in a very compromising situation. Yeah.
We really digress because that was before the... that was after. Yeah,
that was after.
I'm really confused.
Anyway, that was SmackDown.
No Mercy this Sunday. Should we give our predictions?
We're just going to give the lineup for No Mercies. On the Raw report, we're going to give the results from No Mercy. We're not ordering No Mercy because simply it's not...
It's nothing orderable.
It's not really nothing you really want to see.
The four-way might be pretty good.
I just want to say probably the next pay-per-view, if we order any pay-per-view, will probably be Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
But we will continue to give you the results if you're not able to get the results, which mm-hmm. is... First is the World Heavyweight Championship matches. Batista, the champion, versus Eddie Guerrero.
I'm picking Batista to win that one.
Then you have Undertaker versus Bob and Randy Orton.
I'm picking Undertaker to win that one. No, I'm picking him to lose that one.
Then you have the United States Championship match. Chris Benoit versus Booker T versus Orlando Jordan and Christian.
That can go every way but Orlando Jordan's way.
I think that's the most interesting match of the whole entire night, personally.
Because so many storylines are involved in there.
Then you have Rey Mysterio versus JBL.
I'm picking JBL. JBL's going to win.
Unfortunately, I think I got to pick Rey Mysterio.
Nah.
Simply because I think...
He hasn't even been on TV enough to win.
They're trying to put him over.
They're not putting him over.
Then you have LOD and Christy Hemme versus Eminem with Melina.
Some tell me Eminem going to win. I'm just going to go out the limb and guess.
Well, it's time to give him the belt back.
Well, it's not a tag guy match.
It should be.
I don't know what the hell it is.
And then we're going to have my favorite match, the opening match of the night, Simon Dean versus Bobby Lashley with Simon Dean's broken hand. No one really cares who won this match, but damn it.
He
did some squats.
I don't see why you're impressed by the squats, man.
It was funny.
It was entertaining.
Funny,
Eric. There's no need to see squats. You taking it like, oh, he did some squats. I ain't never seen
squats. Man, it's 2 in the morning. You're already tired. Exciting is exciting. Well, this has been a SmackDown report. We're going to come back next with our closing statements, and we'll finish you guys. I mean, it's almost an hour-long show. Hope you guys are ready for this.
It's packed.
We about to be gone. We about to be gone. We about to be gone.
Well, we're finally at the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say something right now. TNA is doing a better job of building up their pay-per-view than WWE did building up their No Mercy pay-per-view.
Well, you know, they don't really build up those. They already build up the four major ones, you know, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And the Royal Rumble.
The promotion for... I mean, only matches they've been really promoting has been The Undertaker versus Bob Orton, the Eddie Guerrero. I mean, considering if I knew the level, I'll let you guys know if both pay-per-views are going on the same Sunday... More than likely, I would order the TNA one, just so I can see the X Division match, personally. If you look at the lineup for No Mercy, is there any match you really want to see?
Well, Batista and the four-way. That might be pretty good.
But, no one canceled that matches out, because that's going to be one bad match canceled out with the Monster Ball 2 match with TNA.
You don't know if that's going to be a bad match. It's a sequel to another Monster Ball.
Marks that locking people up in the cage. But I mean, you realize though that I mean, tell me the truth. Would you rather see that match, or would you rather see Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles in an Iron Man match?
Why you gotta put me on the spot? Okay, yeah, I would rather see that.
I mean, it's just,
I think you are right. The Bound for Glory, you know.
The Bound for Glory seems like a better pay-per-view. I mean, true, I'm not really that quick to want to go order a TNA pay-per-view.
You're not quick to order any pay-per-view. They cost $35.
Yeah, especially because you still have Jeff Jarrett versus Kevin Nash. And I would rather see Eddie Guerrero versus JBL than that match.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you compare it one-to-one, I mean, they pretty much each match is canceled out each other.
I think they will equal the same in total amount of quality.
Yeah, I think so,
I mean,
too.
The X Division will have their moments. The four-way match may have their moments. Eddie and Batista may have his moments. And the Iron Man match will have his moments. And
then the tag match. Is there even a tag match for TNA?
I don't think it was.
They still have more matches to announce, though.
And then Bobby Lashley and Simon Dean.
I'm doing squats, y'all. I'm doing squats for the rest of the show. Psych.
You're too fat to do squats for the rest of the show.
Yeah, you got any more closing statements for the show?
Let's see. We went on long enough. Please send email.
All right. Let me give out the contact information at the 56-minute point. The website, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email, thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Please email us your top five or any top fives that you guys want us to discuss on the show. All right, once again, let's give another shout-out to our first email, Floyd. Stay strong in the Netherlands, my brother. Move on. All right, we out. See you guys, I guess, Tuesday and Wednesday for the Raw Report.
And this is Eric.
This is Eric. Yes, I am Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. See you guys next show. Bow.